Hey, Anna, we got something very, very, very exciting happening on December 21st of this year. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Before I get actually excited, your idea of exciting and my idea of exciting, I'm not sure always meet up. So I'm open to what you're going to say next. What
All is right. It? So on December 21st, The biggest planets in our solar system, I'm talking Jupiter, I'm talking Saturn, will come together in a grand conjunction that evening. They'll be so close together that you'll be able to see both planets in a telescope at the same time.
Okay. You did a good job selling it, and I liked how you kind of built the excitement, did this crescendo. Okay, that's exciting. And how often does that happen?
This will be the last time it'll happen in your lifetime.
How do you know? I'm in incredible physical shape, obviously.
That's a good point. All right, so it'll be the last time it'll happen in my lifetime.
You are much older than me, Alex. It's
probably know that. Yeah, significantly. And so
that's exciting.
So this is very exciting. And so seeing these two planets up in the sky, first off, they've been up in the sky all fall, but each night they're getting closer and closer and together. And so that's the conjunction is the December 21st. Mm-hmm. But you can also see them really close together on December 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Like inching closer?
Yep, you can see them getting closer and closer each night.
That's cute.
And so this is a night that I'm looking forward to. But you also have to look right after sunset. And it's December, so it's going to be chilly. So bundle up and
find a good view. Or it could be like 70. You don't know in this area.
That's a good point.
It could be
anything. You have no idea what December 21st is. I'm hoping for clear skies. But we're going to be talking to a guy here later on that I know is super excited about this conjunction.
He'll be better to be talking about the conjunction with, because you know he's going to be excited. I was a little bit, I'm trying. I'm getting there.
You think he'll sell it better than me?
No. I think you two can nerd out about it together, and I'll just like file my nails or something over here until you guys are done.
All right. That sounds good.
I'm just kidding. I'm excited. I want to be interested in the things you're interested in. That's what a good co-host does.
So, I want to be interested in those things. I try. I just can't do it.
I'm sure you'll be just as excited as I am when the new season of Emily in Paris comes out on Netflix, which is the worst show ever.
I have no idea what that is. I have no response.
But you could just be blindly excited with me like I am for you about your conjunction.
Oh my gosh. I am so excited about Emily from something.
That was really good.
That was good.
Friendship.
From the various home studios and Cincinnati Public Radio, I'm Dean Regas, and this is Looking Up.
And I'm Anna Heeman. We're both from the Cincinnati Observatory, where socially distant can mean millions of miles. We're happy to welcome back our good friend James Albury from the Kika Silva Pla Planetarium to get us ready for December in space. All right, so we're having a conjunction junction. What's your function? Function is that the two planets, which ones? Wait.
Jupiter and Saturn.
I know. Give me a second. Jupiter and Saturn are going to be super close together. How close in a telescope are they going to be? Like, is it going to look like they're an eight or like two eyeballs? What are we talking about? How close?
They're going to be very close. So you'll be able to see one will be kind of on one edge of the telescope view. The other will be on the other edge of the telescope view. But then you can see some moons in there also. The rings of Saturn, the stripes on Jupiter. And it should be very exciting to do this. And so it's definitely up there on my top things to see, especially since it's such a rare occasion to get them that close together. Because it's about every 20 years where they get in conjunction, but this one is super close. So I'm pretty excited.
And I would say, and you feel free to disagree because it's an open discourse on our show. I would say visually, Jupiter and Saturn are the two most interesting planets to look at because they both have what I like to call accessories.
Yeah.
Which is rings and spots and striation. You know, I think they're both really cool to see through a telescope, and then to see them both at the same time with their little, I would call it their posse, which would be their moons. You know, that is really exciting.
Yeah, I totally agree. And because, you know, Mars, it gets all the press and you think and you're going to see Martians and all that stuff. But Mars is a little boring when you put it up next to Jupiter and Saturn. Venus is pretty cool because it's so bright. But yeah, you don't see any of that, the surface features. Mercury, yeah, you know, you can't see Mercury too well in a telescope anyway.
Yeah,
because it's too close to the sun. And then Uranus and Neptune look like little blue disks.
Yeah.
So,
and of course, Pluto is a planet. It's so
Pluto,
small.
Yeah. And Pluto, you don't see much of anything. And so it's Jupiter and Saturn are the kings. And so, yeah, this should be a real good one.
Well, I know this has given you an exciting opportunity to talk about some of your other favorite things. What would you say? You know, so a conjunction is exciting to see. Why don't you tell our listeners? I know they're on the edge of their seats. What would you say are your like top? Can I narrow it to five? Do we have to go 10? Can I say five things to see in space?
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, the top five things. So these would be like the best, greatest hits, things you could see with the naked eye or minimal equipment in the universe. I think that's what I would say.
Are these going to be in ascending order or is it just like top five and they're laterally exciting?
Let's go in ascending order. I think, yeah, then we leave the, you know, the number one for last. Don't you think that'd
we'll
be
going
out?
Like top
the suspense, the suspense of what's going to be number one.
You're right. We should just space it out over five episodes. And make people hate
it. Yeah, that'd be the cliffhanger. That'd be
That's right. They'd be like, this is ridiculous.
That's right.
All right. Let us have it. What do you got?
Now, number five is, that's a tough one. This one could be controversial. And I think, you know, I'd be open to other ones if people disagree with me. I fully understand. And that would be a lunar eclipse would be my fifth top five thing. Because there's something about lunar eclipses when the moon goes into the shadow of the Earth. It's just so cool looking. And it turns these eerie shades and different colors. And it's kind of a more of a relaxing event because you can just kick back and watch it change over the course of a few hours. And so I'd put that as number five. But I would be open if somebody came up with a better number five.
I say we'll put it out to our listeners. We'll see what they think.
Yeah, in fact, yeah, let's see who can come up with something to top number five. But the top four though, I'm pretty solid on.
These
four
go.
Are maybe three and four can be switched, but we'll let people decide. But number four would be a great comet. And I'm not talking that little comet we had this year, whose name I already forget because I've
Neowise.
Moved on. Neowise, thank you very much.
Who's the astronomer here, Dean?
I'm moving on.
You're like,
already
I don't
moved
even
on.
Care. You don't really ever get excited about like the Perseids or the Orion. You don't really ever get that.
No. So this is so
what, which
truly
one you mean?
Great comet.
Okay.
Something like from like Hale-Bopp and Hayakutake from the 90s. Comet West. I mean, these are like some super awesome comets. We need one that's like really bright, naked eye, tail going across the sky. That's what I'd say is a super awesome thing to see. That's number four. So slightly better than that, but could be interchangeable, would be a meteor storm. Not just a meteor shower, but an exceptionally active meteor storm where you're outside watching shooting stars going one after the other, several every second, like the sky is actually falling. And we had a good one in 2001. That was the last big meteor storm. That would be number three. So I don't know what the way I described it, what would sell the, what sounds better to you? Would you rather see a big comet or lots of shooting stars?
Lots of shooting stars, as long as one's not going to come and like shoot like out my house or something, like shoot through my like home.
No, they'd just be up there. So.
No, I'm more about quantity over quality. So I like the idea of like, And I miss things all the time. So I think if I have an opportunity, you know, I'd be good.
So number one, number two, these ones are in whole nother leagues. And number two is the only one that comes even close to number one. But
I really
want to
guess
what
it is, but I'm not going to guess.
You're going to guess?
No, I was going to, I want to guess what you're going to say.
Oh, okay. So number two is Northern Lights. Seeing the Northern Lights. That would be, I think... It's one of the coolest things to see when you just step outside and then these different colors are lighting up the night. You see these greens and reds and whites that are dancing and changing and waving.
That would be neat. I actually would do want to see the Northern Lights. That would be cool.
It's really impressive. I've seen them three times. Two times were really kind of weaker shows. You could just barely see some green lights. But the one that I saw in Newfoundland was really incredible, with some white and red and little sparks, and it was just amazing to see these lights in the sky. So that's the only one that can hold a candle to number one. And number one is number one by a long shot, and that's a total solar eclipse.
Right.
You were new in that. You knew that's what was coming.
I did know that. Sorry to take to steal your thunder. The audience could not see that I mouthed that along with tea. I was just going to say, a total solar eclipse, which happened when, Dean?
August 21st, 2017, a day that you have heard over and over and over again because you drew the short straw and had to stay at the observatory.
There was no drawing of straws. It was like, I did some basic math. And it was like, No one's going to be left here. But it worked out the way it should have. I'm glad you got to drive wherever to see it.
Seeing the total solar eclipse is definitely out of this world. It's otherworldly. It's the light just turns so strange, and people that saw maybe a partial eclipse or even 90% of the sun blocked out, it's not even comparable. And seeing the whole sun blocked out is just unbelievable. And so April 8th, 2024, nobody is being left behind at the observatory.
We're
that
shutting
day.
That's it down.
That's the next total solar eclipse. Everybody has to go out to see the path of the totality. So this is going to be exciting. I can't wait for that. It's only less than 4 years away,
which is crazy to think about. I do want to say one thing before you wrap this host chat. I'm surprised there's one thing that is not on your top five list.
Really?
Yes.
What's that?
A transit.
You were like, yes.
Bananas for transits. It was like Cuckoo Cuckoo Puffs for a while there. We had a couple transits, you know, and you were really pumped about them. A couple of them did sort of get clouded out, but you were really pumped. And I think they're very cool looking because it looks like a little, you know, across the sun. You know, it's kind of neat. Yeah. Do those even ding the top 10?
They would be in the top 10, definitely. Okay. And a transit could surpass lunar eclipse as cool because it's so rare. I mean, transits, when Mercury goes in front of the sun, it happens only 13 times every 100 years. And Venus goes in front of the sun 2 times every 100 years. So that's the rare factor makes that cooler. So you could sway me on that one for number five. Yep. I just gotta
keep you on your toes, Dean. I gotta keep you thinking about your favorite things in the sky. But that was a good list. I feel like you did a good job with that list.
Thanks. And all these things, hopefully we can see a good comet and a meteor storm and northern lights, and you know, who knows what 2020, any of these things could happen at any time. you never know.
I'm terrified.
I know.
Excited. I mean, 2020's been great.
Maybe let's just do it in 2021. Yeah, skip it all together, but then we'll do it. Yeah.
Good idea.
Regular listeners know my friend James Albury. We used to co-host the PBS series Stargazers, where our use of green screen technology was second to none. James is the director of the Kika Silva Pla Planetarium at Santa Fe College in Gainesville, Florida, and it's good to have him back with us. Howdy, James. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. So we're going to start off with the hard-hitting questions here. And the first big question for you is, do you miss me and how much?
Yes, Dean, I miss working with you a lot. And it's been over a year since you and I both recorded an episode together. But it's also been almost a year since our last episode aired, which was, I believe, November 4th or very close to November 4th.
Yeah, time flies. A whole year gone by.
Yeah. And one of my go ahead.
Oh, I just, you know, it was always a lot of fun to fly down to Florida, and especially in the winter months. That's when I miss it the most, is December and February, where we fly down every 2 months. And it was so cool to work in the studio and stand in front of the green screen and fly through space.
Yeah, well, yeah, I decided, well, I guess I'll talk about this later on, but I decided to do my own show because I missed it so much that I started my own YouTube channel. And whenever I'm standing in the green screen and recording, the first time I did it, I had a major flashback of when you and I did it. And it's like, I miss Dean. He's not here next to me. So I have to say everything during my video instead of saying something, resting for a bit while you say something, and then I get to follow up and having banter back and forth. Because even during conjunctions, I can't dance anymore because I have no one to, there's no straight man to play the goofy guy off of.
Well, yeah, tell us about the new show that's been around just going on quite a few months now. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I started a new show called The Sky Above Us, and we debuted our first episode on February 27th. And the episode is entitled The March of the Planets. And that was because during the month of March, Mars passed Jupiter and Saturn in the early morning sky. So I decided to create the show to not only fill a void in my own life, because after doing Stargazers with you for almost 9 years, I missed that element of being able to engage the public with communication regarding science. So I said, well, you know, I would like to go ahead and continue to do that. And with all of the technology we have nowadays with YouTube and other social media platforms, I thought, well, you know, I could just go ahead and make my own astronomy show. So one of my colleagues at the college, he'd always wanted us to do some sort of collaborative work together doing green screen. I said, well, this looks like it's going to be a good opportunity. So we worked together and I got the appropriate music and video licensing and all of that stuff. And it's a lot easier for an individual to do it than an institution. So it was better for me to produce the show myself than to have Santa Fe College produce it, because it would have cost them thousands of dollars in music licensing and so on. But yeah, so we come out with an episode every 2 weeks on the 15th and the 30th. And during the COVID-19 quarantine, my studio was not available, so I recorded all of the episodes via audio. And then I sent the audio to my video editor, and what he did was he made a cartoon of me. And so for about 7 or 8 episodes, you'll see an animated version of me. The first one was really skinny, but then he realized he needed to make the arms bigger to reflect my hulking girth.
That's right. Yeah, he's got to show your bodybuilder physique, wow. Not just some skinny, Regus-like physique. I mean, come on.
And he had to add the beard, probably, right? As it got longer.
Well, it had I had 5 o'clock shadow, but okay. But once I came back, a lot of people said, "Oh my gosh, you grew a beard." Yeah, it wasn't as prominent before, but because I started growing it in October of 2019. So the two most recent episodes I did were The Martian Opposition, which was last week, and the one that we just posted yesterday or day before is called The Blue Pumpkin Moon. And Jack Horkheimer, I give some memorial love to Jack in this episode because remember the 25th anniversary of Stargazers? At the beginning of that video, he mentioned that there won't be a full moon on Halloween again until 2020. That's this year. And of all the goofy things that have happened this year, sure, why not have a full moon on Halloween as well? So pile it on.
That's right. Yeah.
So you can visit the website. If you go to YouTube, just type in James Albury, The Sky Above Us, and you'll find it.
Well, it's very cool that you started the YouTube show, but I also, is it true you started a podcast?
Oh, yes.
Are you coming for us, James? Is that what's happening here? Because if you want Dean back that bad, you can have him, okay? Because it is not all sunshine and roses over here working with Dean, as you probably well know. But tell us about your podcast.
Yes, you and Dean have inspired me to add an audio component to it. So one of my colleagues, Professor Andy Shepherd at Santa Fe College, he said, well, we should do a podcast. And I said, well, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson does one, Dan Rogan does one, but Mr. Rogan's a little more controversial sometimes, and he swears.
Oh.
So I can't do cuss words. So, but we do our We do a 30-minute podcast where we talk about all sorts of astronomy topics. What we usually do is we try to follow up on what I spoke about in that week's video version of The Sky Above Us. And so at the beginning of the episode, we talk about what's happening in the night sky, and then we answer questions from some of our viewers and followers, and we talk about science fact or science fiction, where Andy comes up with a topic and says, so is this something that we can actually do or something that we can't do, like cloaking devices or lightsabers or something like that. And then we have a mystery sound from a sci-fi movie that I try to identify. And then so it's kind of neat. Not as high tech and fancy as you guys with public radio, but
oh yeah, the budget here is just it's unbelievable. So well, it's really cool that you're doing that too, and good to put a plug in that Anna inspired you to do. That's always good for she likes to
I
hear
love
that
compliments.
Too. Harkening back to the Stargazer show, and probably in reality, you're a humongous fan of conjunctions, and yes. That would often inspire you into a dance of some sort when a conjunction was happening. And we have the conjunction of all conjunctions happening December 21st. I think you know what I'm talking about. Are you excited? And tell us what's going on December 21st.
Well, if you hear of a 5'10" black man dancing himself into a frothy frenzy just before Christmas, you'll know that's me.
Okay, you'll be known as Florida Man. I think that's what they usually call him.
Yeah, Florida Man seen dancing all over his neighborhood. But
so what's going to provoke this thing?
Okay, so from what I have also done in my research, this particular conjunction is called an appulse. Now, an appulse is a really super duper close conjunction. And it's one of those terms that isn't often used, but what's happening is as we're orbiting the sun, as you know, Jupiter and Saturn were both at opposition this summer. So that means they're pretty much lined up with the sun from where they are with respect to each other. But we, of course, passed them by now. But if we look back toward them, the angle of our point of view is going to line up so well that on the evening right after sunset on December 21st, Jupiter and Saturn will be less than a tenth of a degree apart. Now, to give you an idea of what a tenth of a degree is, the moon itself is half a degree. So that's 50% of a degree. Yeah, so divide that by 5, and that's the tenth. So they're so close that they may look like one star, depending on where you are on the Earth looking at it. And if you look at it through binoculars, you will be able to see Jupiter and Saturn in the same field of view. It'd be kind of like if you're taking a picture of Jupiter and Saturn's photobombing it in the background. So I'm looking forward to
this. This is going to be exciting. The two biggest planets as close together as they'll be for our entire lifetime, essentially.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to taking a picture of Titan and Ganymede and Europa. Sorry, I tried to say Io and Europa at the same time.
Iopa.
But I'm looking forward to seeing them all in the same field of view, and a lot of my fellow planetarians are going to try to do some astrophotography that night.
Oh, yeah. Should be super exciting. Yeah. When I saw that coming up, you probably talked about it on Stargazers 5 years ago, too. You've been looking forward to it that long, and you got me excited about it, too.
Yeah,
so,
I think one of our episodes that we did, one of the last episodes we did, we talked about it.
Well, so what do you say? Is it the time for a Stargazers reunion show? Have we been off the air for anybody at all to miss us?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny. I don't know if you've watched the show recently. Trace.
No, I don't care for it. I'm just kidding.
Spill the tea.
Maybe a little bitter.
Oh, my goodness. You heard it here first. Oh, my gosh. Well, I love this.
I think Trace is doing a good job. The thing is, though, he does talk fast, and I have trouble absorbing information that quickly. But their format's only a minute for their episode, so I used to have trouble trying to get information in 5 minutes. So that is one of the nice things about having my own show. I can make it as long or short as I want it to be, but I have to be aware not to go over 8 minutes, because most people they don't care after about 8 minutes. They move on to something else. So, but yeah, I think you and I should do a collaborative video type something, or even a podcast kind of like this. I'll invite you over to my podcast. I got to figure out how we're going to record you though, because again, I don't have the fancy technology. I guess I could use Zoom, but I don't know how to synchronize and all that stuff.
Well, you got to figure it out, James, because the world needs you two back together again. I mean, that's one thing I think we could all agree on. You guys just have a ping and a pong that just works. You got to have a little reunion show.
It's kind of like Batman and Robin. Like, Robin became Nightwing, and Batman, he's just doing his thing in Cincinnati.
And by the way, we're connecting to James on Zoom here, so we're able to see him, and he has quite the beard going, which is pretty impressive.
And I've got all my own teeth.
And despite being significantly older than me, he always looks younger than me, and it's really ridiculous.
God, he really does. Actually, not you say that, Dean. It's so weird. It's so glaringly obvious.
But he's significantly older than me.
Really?
I mean, it's not even close.
Well, I'm 53.
Yeah, I mean, that's like 15 years.
Yeah, Dean looks at least 60 right now. He keeps wanting us to use the pictures of him from like 11 years ago, James. Like, he looks like he's about 12 years old, and he's like, this is a good picture because I got the Orion sky. I'm like, no, this is false advertising. So I'm just saying.
Oh, gosh. If you go to the Stargazers website over at South Florida PBS, they have all of our videos. And I went back to look at some of the first year that we did. Mm-hmm. Man, I was like 15 pounds lighter. I had no beard. I looked so young and happy and just, man, time was kind, but not as kind as I'd like it to be.
It's been worse to Dean though, to be fair.
Anna, you've got a tough audience.
Nah, it's true. She's absolutely.
If I don't keep him in check, James, you don't even know what I have to deal with. Okay, it's like I got a book now, and I don't know, whatever.
And I heard he has groupies and all sorts of stuff.
Oh yeah, and people will come in like, does Dean Regas ever stop in here and visit when we used to be open? I was like, yeah, he's sitting right here. He works here every day, and it is mildly entertaining at best. But I'm so glad you're excited to see him.
And they say, oh, can I sit in his chair? I'll never wash the skirt again.
Oh my gosh, can you sign my book? Oh my gosh, is that Dean? Like.
Yeah, but they don't recognize me because I look so much older.
That's true. You're like, oh, are you Dean's dad? Where's Dean? Dean. That's the
way you got to do it when fame comes calling. Anyway,
this is so
fun. James, this has been a delight as always. Our first 3-time guest on Looking Up, and glad to have you. Glad you're doing well. And
thank you
so
for
much
inviting
for
me back. Apparently, I didn't ruin the ratings of the show, so that's good that I'm back.
They
thank
only
you.
Go up higher.
You're
only
making
up
the
higher.
Ratings.
The Alberry bump. Right. Well, thanks so much, James.
Oh wow. Okay. Wow. That's it. So, yeah.
James, like,
we're fast.
I was having too much fun.
I know.
Nah, we're fast.
All right. So despite a pandemic, we still have been doing kids programs, and you've been Zooming into classrooms and working with groups, Dean, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Thank goodness they're keeping you occupied. And so we have a kid question, which is kind of fun. We haven't had one in a few minutes. Feels like. So I love this. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I like
what do
to
you
ask you if you're ready to like kind of psych you out.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like kids ask a version of this question a lot, but my question is, well, their question, I should say, my question for you, will Neptune and Pluto, both which should be planets, will they ever like just crash right into each other? And what's keeping them apart?
Nothing. Whoa, yeah, that is a very popular question I get. These are two, one a planet, one a non-planet, that have orbits that kind of overlap a little bit, or at least seem to overlap, because there's that fact that Pluto can be closer to the sun than Neptune for a little bit in its orbit. And so it leads you to thinking, well, okay, if Pluto can come closer to the sun than Neptune, then won't they cross paths? And if they cross paths, will they run into each other? And if they run into each other, will they explode into this gigantic you know, humongous blast.
That's my concern.
Destroying one or the other. And as fun as that is to imagine, that it will not happen. The two are not in a collision course. They won't run into each other. And that's just because, well, one of the, you think of it like two hula hoops. And so Pluto's hula hoop is kind of inside of Neptune's hula hoop a little bit. And so they won't actually run into each other in three-dimensional space. When Pluto is between us and or closer to than Neptune is, Neptune's way over somewhere else. And so the two of them will not collide.
Would it be like curling, where the one comes down and kind of like maybe knocks the other one out of the way a little bit?
Well, like if bocce ball? If the two of them ever ran into each other, Pluto's in big trouble. That's for sure.
Oh, no. Neptune, it's already got so much on its mind.
Neptune's way larger, way more massive. And so if the two would collide, Neptune would just basically like swallow it up and say, thank you very much for the extra little ice. I appreciate that.
Aww.
And go on its way. And that is sad. That's true. But so
like,
there's,
but
not going to be,
so calm down.
There's not going to be giant explosions and that kind of stuff. It would just be kind of an absorption.
Okay.
So yeah, so that wouldn't work too well for giant explosions and wouldn't end well for Pluto. But that question, you know, it's like, you know, I get that so often. And I mean, I just gave a talk for a school group. And when I say, okay, anybody have some questions, there's that one comes up. Then there's all these other doomsday scenarios that kids come up like, so what would happen if the sun disappeared? And I'd be like, well, it'd be pretty cold. And they'd be like, well, what would happen if the moon disappeared? And I'd be like, well, not that much. And then they'd say, well, what if the moon ran into the earth? And then I'd be like, yeah, that would be terrible. That would be awful. I don't know. And they just like love it. If I could open up questions to certain classes, it would be 3 hours worth of those scenarios. That's basically how it is.
I think it's hilarious, though, that they're so just like, their mind goes to like that place, like right away.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, and boys, girls, doesn't matter. Age, any age, like, you know, kindergartners will ask me that. High schoolers will ask me that. It doesn't matter. There's something about these, you know, these hypothetical collision situations and explosions and supernovas and black holes and all this kind of stuff. It's like, It's a little morbid, but it's also, I think it's just a lot of fun too.
Oh, for sure. Well, that's it for this episode of Looking Up. Thanks again to James Albury from the Kika Silva Pla Planetarium for joining us.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find us there. If that happens to be Apple Podcasts, your rating and comments will help others find us. So thanks for helping out. And if you like what you hear, spread the word.
We'd love to hear your ideas for guests or topics. Find us on Facebook or Twitter or email us at lookingup@wvxu.org. Our theme song and additional music is by Why, that's W-H-Y question mark, from their album Moline, courtesy of Joyful Noise Recordings and Terror Bird Media.
Looking Up is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio. Kevin Reynolds is our producer, Josh Elstro is our engineer, and Jim Nolan provides additional technical assistance.
Thanks so much for listening. I'm Anna Heeman.
And I'm Dean Regas. Keep looking up.